اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني يفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك، وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة، وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة، وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي، وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي، وأقل يا غفور عثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجت، وهموم قد كشفتها، وعثرة قد أقلتها، ورحمة قد نشرتها، وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها، على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه، ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه، ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يده، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير، مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما، وغناك عنه قديم، وهو عندي كثير، وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك، الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا، لا خائفا ولا وجلا، مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك، فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور، فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي. يا رب إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك، وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك، وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك، كأن لي التطول عليك، فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك، فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك، مجري الفلك، مسخر الرياح، فالق الإصباح، ديان الدين، رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه، وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق، باسط الرزق، فالق الإصباح، ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى، تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله، ولا شبيه يشاكله، ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء، وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه، ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي، فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة مونقة قد أراني، فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم صل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين. وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة. وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي. حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر حفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك. استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له. أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به وانصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله، وتذل بها النفاق وأهله، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المم به شعثنا، واشعب به صدعنا، وارتق به فتقنا، وكثر به قلتنا، وأعزز به ذلتنا، وأغن به عائلنا، واقض به عن مغرمنا، واجبر به فقرنا، وسد به خلتنا، ويسر به عسرنا، وبيض به وجوهنا، وفك به أسرنا، وأنجح به طلبتنا، وأنجز به مواعيدنا، واستجب به دعوتنا، وأعطنا به سؤلنا، وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا، وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا، يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا، وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا، واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا، إله الحق، آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله، وغيبة ولينا، وكثرة عدونا، وقلة عددنا، وشدة الفتن بنا، وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآل محمد، وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله، وبضر تكشفه، ونصر تعزه، وسلطان حق تظهره، ورحمة منك تجللناها، وعافية منك تلبسناها، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. صلوات. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, Let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum. Regarding the coming of the Imam, one of the teachings that we need to constantly remind ourselves of, if we are to be having that feeling of anticipation, which is part of the concept of intidhar. In fact, it's actually the literal meaning of intidhar is that feeling of anticipation, waiting for something, expecting it to happen. That's the feeling we need to have. There's certain things that if a person really has that in regards to the coming of the Imam, and it's actually the coming of the Imam that we're anticipating, not some bogus or unclear, vague understanding of a person that is supposed to come in the future, rather the Imam of our time, with the qualities he has, with the descriptions that have been given in regards to who he is, what he will do, and so on and so forth, that whole package. Anticipating that, a person who's expecting it to happen in the near future is going to be doing certain things, and that's the other part to intidhar. But the literal meaning of intidhar is to anticipate, to expect something to happen. When we talk about the state of intidhar in regards to the coming of our Imam, one of the ideas that constantly needs to be reminded to us, or we need to remind ourselves of, is regarding how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us news of the future. He tells us of things that will happen, including the coming of the Imam of our time, including Raj'ah. And he says to expect them. So the people in the past, before Islam, were also told of things in the future. For example, the Jews were told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their book that Jesus will come. They were told. How many years did it take? It took centuries. I don't know exactly how many centuries, but it took centuries. Before that, Banu Israel, through the prophets, Israel himself, Ya'qub and Yusuf, these were prophets of Allah, these were Anbiya. Through them, I'm not sure if it was Ya'qub who told his children, and then they had to pass it on, or some other prophet before the coming of Musa, but they were told that Musa is going to come. Musa was their savior. They were told he's going to come. So they had this expectation of him coming. For Jesus, similarly, the Jews, or the same race, the children of Israel, were told that Jesus, who was one of them, from amongst them, a person will come who will guide you as the next Messiah or Savior, and he has these descriptions and so on and so forth. And then Jesus came, and he said, as God tells us in the Quran, he told the people that someone will come after me whose name is Ahmad, which is the other title of the Prophet in the heavens. It is said that the Prophet is called Ahmad. Ahmad and Muhammad come from the same root. The meaning of the words is the same. In many ways, there's some minor difference that, for another time discussing it, thinking about it and then discussing perhaps. But the idea is, he told the people that our Prophet is going to be coming. And then our Prophet, with 11 Imams after him, one after the other, the 11th Imam and the Prophet, from the Prophet to the 11th Imam, all of these Imams, because the Prophet was an Imam as well, told the people there will be a period of ghaiba or occultation. And the 12th Imam is going to go into an occultation. He will have an occultation, or as some hadith put it, two occultations, which we call the minor and the major. That's not in the hadith itself. But there will be an occultation, after which that Imam will return. He will come in يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قسطا وعدلا كما ملئت ظلما وجورا. He will fill the earth with justice as it was once filled with injustice. So these promises are made. There's something about the promises that God makes, the ones that tell us it's right here in this world, because there's certain promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that deal with the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, إِنَّهُمْ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. Whoever has taqwa, and they're patient with that, they're patient in applying taqwa, in applying and fulfilling the obligations or abstaining from the forbiddances that God has for them. If they're patient in that, then God will not, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. The rewards of these people will not be lost. Allah has preserved it, and on the day of judgment onwards, in fact, post-death, they will see it. Nothing is lost. That's a promise. In this world, at least for a good number of people, we don't see that. We don't see those rewards being given. We see a good person like Imam al-Hussein, his whole family and himself are massacred. What happened to the rewards of all the great work? Well, that's a promise. The hereafter, you'll see it. So there's certain promises that have to do with the hereafter. There's certain promises that have to do with this world. There's an important reason why these promises are given, the ones that are time, not the general ones. There's certain general promises that are made. For instance, sustenance. Allah says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. It will provide sustenance. When? Doesn't set any time. There's certain things that are somewhat timed. Timings are given. The issue of the establishment of the government of the imams is one of those that, according to one hadith, two timings were given. The year 70 was one timing that was given. That Amruna, our Amr, the government of the Ahlul Bayt, was supposed to occur in the year 70 after the Hijrah. That's long gone. Didn't happen. Then the year 140, that's also long gone. We're in the year 1442. And then it says that it was postponed for the second time to an unknown period. And then we have these different signs that we've been given. There's different ahadith that talk about different signs. That when this happens, or until this happens, that will not happen. For example, the Sufyani. It says, whoever claims to have seen the Imam before the rise of the Sufyani is a liar. Well, who is the Sufyani? We've explained, we said that some of the teachers mentioned, we explained the reasoning for it. It is clear, crystal clear, that the Sufyani is the rise of Kufr against Islam after it had been suppressed by the hands of the Prophet, and then that had been furthered where the Persian Empire fell, the Roman Empire fell. The power, the global power, was the power of the Muslimin. Be it that the rulers were not mu'mineen, they were not udul, they were not just people, they were fusaq of the Muslimin, they were sinners and wrongdoers, and they usurped that position. But in terms of Muslimin, be it muttaqeen and fusaq or fusaq, either way, they're all Muslimin, the nation of Islam. They're the ones who were powerful. We had problems from within. That was nifaq. That wasn't the Sufyani. There was a rise of the Sufyani, the rise of kufr against Islam. Well, that's a sign that's been given. When did that happen? Well, the peak of it was right before the Islamic Revolution. That was the peak of it, because the reason why that's the peak is, as the hadith says, كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. The entirety of the earth was ruled by kufr. There was not a single location on earth that was not ruled by kufr. That's the darkest time in the history of mankind. We've had dark times, this area ruled by a tyrant, that area ruled by a tyrant. But there's been believers. When God talks about Dhul-Qarnayn, there are people who are ruling, and they're not just, they're not good people, they're not mu'min, they're not believers in God. But then there's Dhul-Qarnayn. Dhul-Qarnayn is a believing person, he's ruling as well. Prophets came, they had a small following, even if they had a small following, they left those major areas, they went to areas where it was only them or a few people, they were all believers. After the flood, the time of Nuh, when the kuffar were removed from the face of the earth, Prophet Nuh and his followers were the ones that ruled the earth and robed the earth. So we've had times where we've had kuffar ruling, but a time where the entirety of the globe is ruled by kuffar. They're the authority. They were fighting each other, the USSR, the Marxists, one way rejecting God, openly in fact rejecting the whole notion of God and religion. They were fighting the Western capitalists who were also rejecting God, although they said we believe in God, we're Christians, we're this, we're that, we support religion and so on. They don't. They didn't. None of these rulers ever did. The earth, they were fighting each other. In Africa, they were fighting each other. In Asia, they were fighting each other. In Europe, they were fighting each other. In South America, they were fighting each other. Every corner of the earth was a war between these two sides. Both of them are kufr. So kufr started its rise, and then it came to a point where that was the peak. Well, it was said that when the Sufyani comes, then the Imam of our time is going to come. Well, when exactly is that going to happen? Because the Sufyani has already come, and the rise of the Sufyani has already occurred. Be it the initial rise from the Renaissance and the Industrial Revolution, this is the rise of the Sufyani. It wasn't the rise of the believers in Europe. The disbelievers, the secularists, those who rejected God, they started gaining power. Whatever was left of religion, they threw away. They gained power. This is the rise of Kufr. In Europe before that, although the rulers, again, were not really believing in Jesus, but it was in the name of religion. Post-Renaissance, it was against religion. And the separation of church and state basically means religion has no say in social political matters, in the social political lives of people. In other words, the church, in even the name of religion, because the church wasn't ruling based on religion, it wasn't doing what Jesus said they need to do, but they were still carrying that as a title, as a banner of some sort. But post-Renaissance, that whatever was left was rejected. So no, we just don't want God at all. Forget religious education. We're going to teach math without theology. No belief in God. This is secular education, secular politics, separation of church and state, and so on. That's the rise of the Sufyan. That's the beginning of it. And the height of it, where they pretty much control the whole world, is pre-Islamic revolution. Because after that, is the beginning of the revolution of the Imam of our time. That is part of the answer. That's something to consider. But the Imam himself arriving, that's what we're focused on. The Imam himself, us seeing him. It says when whoever claims to see the Imam before the rise of the Sufyani is a liar. So post-rise of the Sufyani, it's something that is doable. It's something that can happen. If someone claims to have seen the Imam after the rise of the Sufyani, it doesn't say that he's a liar at that point. But where is he? We don't see him. It hasn't happened where he openly comes and announces. So this is an example of something, a promise that has been given to us regarding something that will happen in this world. And a sort of timing, not a year, not 1442 or 1440 or 1400 or 1500, not anything like that. كَذَبَ الْوَقَّاتُونَ, those who say it's a specific time. But no, certain signs have been given. One of the clearest ones that's been repeated is the idea of Sufyani. We'll explain what it is. Well, the Sufyani came. How much longer do we wait? When is this going to happen? This is the matter at hand. For those believers who see these things, or many of us that are still wondering, what is Sufyani? When is the coming of the Imam? What do all these mean? What does the coming of the Imam mean? And so on and so forth. Those who've clarified these, and these are facts to them now, they're crystal clear on them. Then comes the question of, okay, well, you know, the Sufyani came, so when is the Imam going to come? How much longer do we wait? We hear Atla Behjat said, and this is not a regular person, this is not an ordinary person, and he's a link. He didn't say it himself, he didn't make this up. He said, he quoted someone, we're not sure exactly if that someone is he himself or a friend of his, but it's someone that he trusted. And that person quoted the 12th Imam, saying that it's near that older people in their, roughly around their 70s or so, are going to see the Imam. Well, you know, a person in their 70s is probably going to live maybe another 10 years, maybe 15 years, max 20 years usually. Extraordinary cases, okay, another 30 years. But this was 2009. We're already over 10 years past that. Why are these things said? Do we say that Atla Behjat just made something up? Al-Iyadu Billah. What's going on here? Was there a misunderstanding? Did the 12th Imam not really say that? That link was someone that we should blame everything on. We know Atla Behjat. We know the 12th Imam. That other person, we don't know. Well, Atla Behjat, if you know him, he said this. He quoted that person. And he's very careful who he quotes. He usually doesn't mention names. But when he mentions something of that nature, he's careful. And this is not something to hide. It's on YouTube. It's a recording. It's a video recording, crystal clear. He said this. And he didn't just say, oh, somebody said this. I'm not sure if it's true or not. It's clear he's saying that this actually happened. So what's going on? This is important. There are two things that need to be discussed in this regard. One is, why? Why does God do this? Let me give you another historic example. According to the Quran, the grandparents of Jesus, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, wa alayhim as-salam, the grandparents and the mother of Jesus, and Jesus himself, all of them, salamullah alayhim, they're all great people. The grandparents, Maryam is bint Imran. Okay. Imran and his wife, the mother and father of Maryam, salamullahi alayha, Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen at her time. Such a great woman. Her parents were told they're going to have a son who is going to be the savior, and I don't know what other details had been said to them, but that's what they got. God revealed to them. He told them that. It is for that reason that the Quran says the mother of Maryam made a pledge that this child will be a child dedicated to, for want of a better word, priesthood, or to become clergy and to be at the sanctuary and worship and so on and so forth. Based on what they had been told, it was supposed to be a boy, and they expected. Then when she was born, they said, she says, وَإِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. It's a female. What happened here? God says, God knows better what child you're going to have. So why did God say you're going to have a boy? It turned out that what God meant, obviously, is that you're going to have that boy through Maryam, not directly, but God didn't mention the indirect part. He deliberately left that out. He could have mentioned it. He didn't. Why does God do this? God said when the Sufyani comes, and through, you know, when we say God says, because what the Imam says is the word of God. The Imam doesn't know on his own. He said, whoever says they have seen me before the rise of the Sufyani, they're liars. Okay, well, the rise of Sufyani has occurred. We're not seeing him. How much longer? Is it the beginning of the rise, the peak of the rise, the decline of the rise? Because it's already, the decline has started. The rise of the decline of Kufr has started. At what point will they be defeated for the most part before he comes? The initial understanding when you read that is that, okay, when the Sufyani comes, there's going to be a sayha, one of the other signs. It's a call that's going to be heard. Everyone will hear it. Okay, well, Sufyani came. It's been centuries since the beginning of it. Since the decline of it, it's the start of the decline. It's been 4 decades. He didn't mention those deeds. How much longer do you wait? There's, why did God word it that way? Why did he tell the mother of Maryam, salamullah alayhima, that you're going to have a boy, where she was going to have a boy, but through the daughter? In other words, she was going to have a boy as a grandchild, not as her son. So it is her child, but indirectly. It's the child of her child. It's still her child. That wasn't a lie. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. God is all truthful. But why did God say it in that way? Couldn't he have just said that you're going to have a daughter, she is going to have a son who's like this? There's that discussion of why. What's the reason? I don't want to discuss that. I don't even know. Honestly, I still don't know. I don't have. There are wisdoms you can find and count, because it's not only one. In each of those instances, what happened when the people that were told by God something was going to happen at a certain time, their understanding was that it was going to be exactly at that time, and then it became clear to them that it's going to be after that time. In other words, what was intended was slightly different, but deliberately said in a way for the people to think that way. You will find wisdoms regarding the benefits of them thinking that it's going to be right there and then. You can see that. But I don't have a general principle to present to say, okay, it's because of this. There's something very, very general that is teaching people tawheed, but I don't want to discuss that. That's a whole different thing, and all of these teaching people tawheed is part of it. But I don't want to discuss the idea of why does God do that. The part that is practical is, what do we do? What are we supposed to do when we read the hadith? In the case of the Imam of our time, when the Sufyani, you know, after the rise of the Sufyani, it seems saying you can see the Imam. And then the rise of the Sufyani occurred. It says Khuruj al-Sufyani, the rise of the Sufyani, the rebellion of the Sufyani. It sounds like it's at the beginning stage. The rebellion started centuries ago. The rebellion of the Sufyani of Kufr started centuries ago. We're still not seeing it. What am I supposed to do in this context? What we are supposed to do is to submit to what God has said and know that His word is true, although I may not be able to know exactly what was meant and why it was worded that way, but what was said is exactly true. And lastly, the promise that comes after this promise, because the idea of there being a rise of the Sufyani is a promise itself. It's us being told at the time of centuries before the rise of the Sufyani, there will be the rise of the Sufyani. That will happen. Well, that has happened, and then it was said that after that, the Imam of our time is going to come. Well, that's second. But when you see the Sufyani came, but we thought it was right afterwards that the Imam is going to come. We didn't see it. We need to submit to God, we said. We need to consider what he said to be true, because it is that. Lastly, we need to still believe in the promise. And this is the focus here. I'll leave the other 2 points due to the shortage of time. Already almost close to, or in a way, based on what I had planned to speak, I'm a little over my time frame. Believe in the promise being true. It's going to happen. What happened here? Inni wada'tuha untha. It's a female, the mother of Maryam. It was supposed to be a boy. So I'm not going to have a boy? Well, you were told you're going to have a boy. So still believe in it. But this is a girl. How can I believe in it? Believe in it. If you continue to, if God said this will happen, then he is. First of all, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. If he said something, giving us news of something, telling us of something occurring, just as information to have, then that's صِدْقُ الْحَدِيثِ. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. It's being truthful. Is God truthful, or does he, God forbid, العياذ بالله, God save me from even pronouncing these words. But just to get it across, God lies? العياذ بالله, that's not the case. And from the perspective of it being a promise, you're told, فَصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ. The promise of God is true. But it was a girl. What do I do with that? I don't know. He knows, I don't know. He knows, I don't know. What I do know, which is crystal clear, is he's always truthful. Whatever he said is true. It's confusing to me, but that's my deficiency. I don't know. He said that, it's true. And will it happen? Well, right now, I obviously don't have a son. The mother of Maryam is, you know, but God said you're going to have a son. Then okay, I don't know how. Am I going to have another child? Is it going to happen a different way? I don't know. But God said you're going to have a child, so I'm going to believe. It's God's promise. فَصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. The promise of God is true. It will happen. It will happen. We have got to be, as we said, we started in this way. We said, this is for those who are really anticipating the Imam coming. They're expecting it to happen. They're looking at the signs. They're analyzing. They're realizing, okay, the Sufyani has come. So the Imam's coming is very, it should be happening. Perhaps it's already, in a way, it's already happened. We've already discussed that. But the Imam, seeing the Imam himself hasn't happened, that's going to be very near. How far away is it? But believe, it will happen. It will happen. And expect it إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. They see it, those who don't believe in this. Those who are weak in their belief. They say, oh, it's very far away. وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. We see it as near. A real believer in the Imam of our time sees it near. 50 years ago, those who were in their 60s were supposed to see it near. That's the right way of seeing it. In God's language, that's the way it is. It's near, even though they died and they didn't see the 12th Imam. It's near. Every day they consider it near. And that's what we're told, to consider it. And it is near. And it is near. And inshallah, we'll all see it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us process these deeper teachings of His in the Quran and the Hadith. Learn them, understand them, believe them, take them on board, and inshallah, move in the direction that He wants us through these teachings. We ask Allah to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah to help us be His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of their difficulties, hardships, illnesses, especially this pandemic. And we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, rahimallah, man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.